Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
All right, we are halfway home on a Monday. Ben and Woods, 97.3, The Fan. Great to be here with you on this beautiful Monday morning. Always appreciate all of the Tier 1's effort and you know, decision to listen to Ben and Woods. It's pretty heartwarming and pretty incredible, so thank you very much. I'm Woodsy, that's Paul Reindel, executive producer of the program.
We're not going anywhere.
No. That's the thing. It's like, hey, see you guys next season. I'm like, no.
Maybe you tuned in after every game. Yeah. You know, you were listening to the game at night. We just happened to be on in the mornings. Like, we're still here.
Yeah, just stay here.
Say good morning to Dan Chavez of Encinitas, who tracked me down in Costco over the weekend. And big Tier 1.
Yeah.
Big fan of the entire station. 98 listens all day long.
Good, thank you.
Had a nice long conversation about the station and the Padres, and he was very excited to meet me. My son was with me, and he kind of slunk away.
Yeah, they slink away.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, Dad's going to be in this conversation for a while.
Yeah.
I'll go look at the frozen food section or something. Costco?
Yeah, what'd you get?
Oh, you know, it's just some of the staples that we have around our house. What did we get this weekend?
What was your purchase that you got? Because everybody has one at Costco. What's the one that you didn't really need?
Oh.
Did you get a bucket of shrimp or something?
No, it's the snack area that always gets me. I got the chocolate truffles, like the individually wrapped ones. I like those.
Like the Lindor, are they called?
Lindor ones. Actually, these are the Costco, the Kirkland, or one of them. But
what's
really
in the middle?
All dark chocolate.
Oh, it's just one
all the way
chocolate ball.
Chocolate, dark chocolate Lint? Ball. Yeah.
Is it L-I-N-D-T?
There's Lint and Lindor. There's two, I think. But these are actually the, I don't know, the off-brand. They're a little cheaper, but I like them better. So
what do you... They're just like little individually wrapped.
Yeah,
balls.
They're little.
How many do you put down? Just two.
Two.
All right.
For dessert.
A couple balls after.
Yeah.
Couple balls.
And my 1% milk. Yeah.
And your 1% milk.
My 1% milk.
What else? Anything exciting?
We needed bread and cereal and milk. We got the Honey Bunches of Oats. Okay. Usually we get the frosted mini wheats, but they didn't have them, so we went with Honey Bunches of Oats instead.
All right.
I don't know if we're going to like that or not. It's a bit of a change for us.
Spent my, I tweeted it after the show on Friday. Went to see my therapist. I go every 2 weeks,
yeah.
You know. And you would think after the Padres season, you know, you go in there and talk about that. You know what I spent the entire session talking about? Food. The entire?
Food.
Yes. Because I had.
Is that therapeutic to you?
No, it's not. It's the age old battle in our home of the food battle.
What's for dinner?
Yeah, that and like, why are they eating that? Why aren't they eating this? Well, why don't you make it then? And like that whole, I spent 55 minutes, not talking about my childhood or, you know, trauma or anything, you know, talking about food and how to navigate food in my home because it is turned into again. Maybe my life's biggest stressor, which means my life's pretty good. If that's the only thing I'm really worried about, you know, is food. But I did spend, yeah, it's not cheap. You know, therapy's not cheap. But I spent 55 minutes in there, Ben, after 4 hours on the air of talking about the Padres, going in there. And she's like, well, what's going on with you? I'm like, food. Because I did have a mini minor crash out. My crash outs now, they're not like Mark Sanchez. They used to be like Mark Sanchez. That used to be the typical Woods crash out was I'd get drunk and start doing wind sprints and alleys and, you know, maybe get in a fight or something. Like that just doesn't, I don't do that anymore. my new crash out is food. So it's partly that, and then partly, like, how do we manage the food and the diets of everyone in our home? So my, when I crash out, again, it's not on drugs or alcohol. It's on food. So it started that morning. We came in on Friday, and we're talking about the Padres, and I start getting, you know, a little antsy. So I meander back to our boss Michael's office, and he has that big bowl of candy. So I just grabbed two little mini things of M&Ms and just crushed it. It's like, no big deal.
Little trick-or-treat bags.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
like
the little
10 M&Ms
yeah,
in them.
10, so call it 20 M&Ms, right? So that got, I get them down my gullet. And I'm like, oof, I'm doing better, but I don't want to go down this path. So I'm driving out to the deal, to my therapy, and I'm early. And I go, starving. Ooh, Carl's Jr. Haven't had that in a while. Got a little cheeseburger, Carl's Jr. A little soda, Carl's Jr. And now you know.
How did you gain all the weight?
Now you feel, oh, it's coming. Like, the crash out is coming. It's I'm about to go down.
M&Ms are just a gateway snack.
M&M is like four shots of whiskey. And you're like, well, I know where this night's going, right? I'm going to be beating up some 69-year-old in an alley if I don't curb this thing
put
right now.
Put the M&Ms down.
Put them down. Walk away. Got a little cheeseburger, a little soda.
Then you hit 7-Eleven on the way.
And I got finished up there.
And you opened DoorDash.
Went home and was like, I'm ordering a salad. So I got a big sweet green salad for dinner. I actually got two, and I had one for dinner last night to try to mitigate some of the damage. But I'm telling you, like, once I get going on this, I'm going to have an addictive personality. I always have. And once I get going on something, it's like, all right, I guess this is what we're doing now as I'm mainlining syrup in the alley behind my house, right? Like, that's my new crash out.
Well, I thought you were going to talk about your kids. And
oh,
what they're
we have
eating.
That too.
Yeah.
We have that too.
That's always the toughest
one. It's the worst fight my wife and I have every single day. It's not 3 days a week, 4 days a week. So what it's boiled down to is my life apparently needs to be, I go to work. As soon as work's over, I go home and start cooking meals for the family. That's essentially to get it like to where we all want it to be. That's just the cross that I'm going to have to bear. I'm just going to have to go and cook all day, every day. And that's where we're at, which I don't want to do. Who wants to do that? I don't want to do that. But, you know, Hannah doesn't really like to cook. I don't really like to cook. But in order to get it done, you know, somebody's going to have to do it.
You've tried the meal prep services, though.
Well,
that hasn't worked out that
well. It's worked
well
for me. If it were just me to worry about, we'd have no problems. I'd be 180 pounds of shredded muscle if it was just me in that home. But I don't want it to be just me in that home. The kids don't like them. Hannah was like, oh, I'll get it, and then doesn't like them. Everybody changes their mind a lot in my house, as you know. And so it just makes it really, really tough. Makes it very tough to plan. And it's frustrating. So I did. I tried to learn a better way to navigate that in therapy.
I think one of the hardest things as a parent, having gone through it, is the debate between making your kids happy
yeah.
and making them healthy.
Correct.
Because the two never line up correctly.
Not really.
If you force them to be healthy, they're really not that happy.
But here's the problem. We all had the opportunity to make our kids healthy when they were young. We all did. And we all of us, get lazy. And you go, eh, just eat the cereal. Or, just eat this. Or, here, let me just make you a grilled cheese or whatever. Oh, you like grilled cheese? Let me make you 100 grilled cheeses over the next 100 days. Right? We all do that.
Well, that's the happiness.
They're your kids.
You know they're going to eat it. You know they're going to like it.
If you start them,
I lost that battle. We made grilled cheeses and quesadillas all the time because I knew they'd eat it, and that was better than trying to force them to eat something that they didn't want to eat, which they ended up not eating, and then now we're back at square one.
But all the kids that have been started, like, oh, here's their mom, and I make fun of the parents. They're like, oh, I bring my kids meals to places. I'm like, just let them have a piece of pizza. Well, that's what happens. Your kids start to really like it, and they don't want to eat healthy. I can't remember. The last time Taylor, I cannot remember the last time I saw him eat
but
a vegetable.
Not one. The alternative is untenable in saying, okay, your kids are just eating healthy all the time.
It's tenable. We just don't do it.
Do you want your kids to be that way, though?
I want them to be healthy, yes.
To never eat anything unhealthy, though.
No, I don't want to be like Todd Marinovich's dad.
Right.
You know, I don't. But I also like...
But once they get a taste of it, as you said, that's what they're going to want. And then it becomes that battle where you have to either force them to be unhappy because they know better things now exist.
Yeah.
You have let them have the bite of the grilled cheese. They've had the pizza.
Ray, right here. My two-year-old hasn't touched dairy or sugar. He did it the right way. Like, if that's the way they know, then that's the way they know. They don't know any differently. But if you're like, yeah, have these crunch berries. All right, have them again. All right, have them again. Like, it's hard. So I literally, that's what I spent my whole time in there talking about of like, so my life now is work, go to Vaughn's or something.
Two is one thing, though. Come back when they're six and tell me that they still haven't had any sugar.
Right.
At six.
It's true.
And once they have had it and they go to a birthday party and they have ice cream and cake and they realize, oh, wait, there's better things out there than what I've been eating, then the battle starts.
Yeah, it's a battle.
And it's hard for parents because you want your kids to be happy.
Yeah.
And you don't want it to be a fight when you're every single time when you're feeding them.
Maddie, I don't know if you have kids or not, but he says, just simply tell your kids to eat the food you're made or don't eat. They'll eat. They won't.
They don't.
I'm telling you. I feel like it worked on me when I was a kid. It doesn't work on them. These newfangled kids, it doesn't work on them. This is what's for dinner. Eat it. I've had this conversation a million times. This is what's for dinner. Eat it. They're like, all right, we'll eat. And then I'm like, oh, cool. I'm just going to send my kid to bed hungry. Like, what kind of dictatorship is this? Now, it's not the diner, as we've talked about. But it's really a struggle for me, man. It really is. And I found something that three of us will eat. Hannah won't eat it. So now, you know what I mean? Hannah's as difficult as they are about it. But I'm telling you, man, it is really, really tough. And then you get to the point where you're like, well, if you're not going to eat this that I'm going to make, then I'm not just going to make it. Let's just get DoorDash. And so you get DoorDash and everybody gets chicken nuggets and whatever else. It's really frustrating. It keeps me up at night. It really does. It's probably, probably my greatest stressor in my life, which means I have a pretty good life. If that's the greatest stressor. But that's what I spent my time in there doing about. Money well spent. Money well spent. It basically came down to, if you want it done that way, you're just going to have to do it. And I go, I don't want to hear this answer. I want to hear somebody else is going to do it. Like, I don't want to have to do this. I know the right way. I know the way out. It just means I have to do a buttload more work. So that's where I'm at.
All right. Second half of Ben and Woods coming up. We will have Dennis Lynn joining us on our David P. Shapiro fan hotline, facing criminal charges. Trust David P. Shapiro criminal defense attorneys, helping clients regain control since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. That's at the bottom of the hour. Before that, we have Take on Woods, our first chance at the Jerry Seinfeld tickets and trip to Las Vegas, coming up in just a few minutes. But wanted to continue our discussion about players that we started. And when we got to the break, we brought up Ryan O'Hearn. I think that's one of the bigger decisions the Padres are going to have. You know, bringing back Ramon Laureano, that's a no-brainer. At $6.5 million,
that's
a steal. He's going to be one of the outfielders for the
Padres
next
season. Starting left
fielder,
Ramon Laureano.
The question is, what is Ryan O'Hearn going to command as a free agent? Being a guy who's hit, you know, the teens in home runs the last 3 years, has gotten an OPS up to about 800. Now, he was an all-star this year, but he's not... He's not a superstar offensive player by any stretch of the imagination, but what does that pay nowadays? Like, what are you willing to do? A free agent has a lot of leverage, and usually you have to overpay guys who are unrestricted free agents on the open market. And is Ryan O'Hearn someone you're willing to overpay to keep in a San Diego Padres uniform? How high are you willing to go?
I mean, I feel like all we ever do is overpay guys. I really do. I shouldn't say that. That's unfair because we have underpaid a lot of guys well and they've performed very well for us. Gavin Sheets being one of them, right? Gavin Sheets is one. Who else have we underpaid performed?
TN says 8 to 12 million a year. And Jake Cronenworth makes 11 million a year. That was signed several years ago and is considered a pretty team friendly deal at this point. Ryan O'Hearn is a more productive offensive player than Jake Cronenworth. I think you've got to start well higher than that. I think we're in the $15 to $18 million per year range if you're seriously considering bringing back Ryan O'Hearn. And all of a sudden, that sounds like a lot of money.
It does.
That sounds like superstar money for a not superstar player.
Again, if a guy you're going to use off the bench.
But it's not, though. You know? Superstar money for a superstar player is like 25 to 30.
So why not just spend an extra $5 million and get a superstar rather than...
Because we're talking like $10 to $15 million more.
I'm talking close to 20 here now. for Ryan O'Hearn. $18 million.
Yeah. So,
I mean, what else can you get for $26 million by adding $8 million?
What's
Pete
Alonso going
to
command? 35
a year, somewhere in that neighborhood.
It's out of your price range. I think.
Schwarber probably even more.
I think Alonso more because he actually does play.
He's a little younger too,
and he's younger. Yeah. I don't know.
I'd be very hesitant about sending a ton of money Kyle Schwarber's way. And that's, we all think Kyle Schwarber's terrific, but he is definitely on the back end of his career.
The Padres don't have that money. We haven't even talked about what do they have to spend.
We don't know. That's the thing.
I'm guessing it's not a 6-year deal for Pete Alonso.
And that's
Pete
something
Alonso.
We don't know, but part of, you know, Kevin Acey's piece is they're going to be after arbitration for the guys, you know, like Adrian Morejon, guys who are arbitration eligible. They will have committed around $190 million to payroll for this coming year. That gives them some room, both under the luxury tax, under the payroll from last year, like $20 to $25 million maybe that they can spend in free agency. But that goes really quickly. I mean, you know, Ryan O'Hearn would be most of that. Does that solve all your problems by bringing back Ryan O'Hearn
no,
for next season?
It doesn't.
It doesn't really solve your problems.
Is he your... He's a nice piece. I really like him, and he's a nice piece, but he's a first baseman, you know, a DH type. And really, I don't know. Like, I don't think we utilized... He's a good defender, you know, better defender than Luis Arraez, at least to the non-internal metrics that we were not privy to the internal metrics. We saw the external metrics that everybody else sees, and they said, oh, he's like exceeded, like way better than Luis Arraez at first base. They didn't feel that way, and he got the majority of the starts at first base, talking about Luis Arraez. So I don't know that I don't know that you overpay for Ryan O'Hearn, but I also don't know. I haven't done the deep dive on who else is out there and who's going to be available and who's available for trade and things like that as well.
I mean, we've all decided Dylan Cease is probably not worth it. Robert Suarez is going to opt out, yep. Probably not going to spend a ton of money on him. Even Michael King, much as I'd like to see him back, the odds are he's gone. You're not making your team any better. You may not want to spend on those guys,
yeah.
But your team's definitely worse without them.
Yes.
You have to replace them. Somehow you have to replace those guys.
Replace them in the aggregate.
And you don't have a lot of minor leaguers coming up that are knocking at the door to replace 180 innings from Dylan Cease and over 200 strikeouts. You don't have someone to replace Robert Suarez in the bullpen. Yeah, Mason Miller can close, but now you know who's pitching in the eighth and the seventh. I mean, you're knocking everybody down a notch in the bullpen. You haven't replaced anybody. You're getting worse if you don't bring those guys back. Who are you finding out there? That's one of the big questions going into this offseason.
I wish I knew. And again, you know, it's such a foolhardy errand that we go through every year because every year Kevin Acey gives us, this is no fault of Kevin's, every year he gives us the projected number. And I feel like every year we've blown past it.
True.
You know? So if history serves, take Kevin Acey's number and maybe add a little bit more because I think, look, what I don't want to read as a Padres fan is this. We're expected to lower payroll. There's no way you can lower payroll after 72 sellouts. There's no way.
Well, I would be shocked if they go over the luxury tax again, though.
I would, too.
Which means they are lowering payroll.
So, luxury tax is
down from 244.
And we're at what?
They were luxury tax-wise, they were about $7, $8 million over that. So,
and we're at what now, though?
190 for next season. So, you've got room to add.
There's room.
But that's still lowering payroll.
$54 million?
That's still lowering payroll from last season.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay, I should couch that with...
They're not selling off pieces to shed payroll.
Correct.
They're going to add to the payroll from now, but lower it from last season.
Which I think I'm okay with.
Okay.
I think I can live with that. But I don't want, we're going to have to cut some costs and this, that, and the other. Yeah, I mean, you can make some smarter decisions in free agency. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Good. All right. Let's take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll take a little break to play Take on Woods. If you want to be our first contestant, try to win the Jerry Seinfeld tickets at Caesar's Palace, 833-288-0973. We'll play our musical trivia challenge coming up next. And then Dennis Lynn will join us at the bottom of the hour. But call now, 833-288-0973. Ben and Woods continuing after traffic on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 FM. Before traffic, though, I will tell you about SDFatLoss.com. That was the program I used to lose my 40 pounds in 60 days. Sounds like an absurd amount of weight, but I did it. And I did it by eating real foods that I liked. It was such a difference maker for me. Went to the grocery store. I would prepare, like Woods was talking about, a little meal prep. Just have the discipline to do it for a couple of months with usually chicken and broccoli, but occasionally I mixed in some steak or some fish, some ahi tuna. Worked for me. Lost the weight fast, up to a pound of fat per day, 10 to 20% of my body weight in just 60 days with no injections. No exercise necessary to lose the weight. They will explain, your counselor, your coach will explain to you when you get your free consultation at sdfatloss.com. It jumpstarts your metabolism. It was developed by doctors. They will coach your way through it. And then when you're done, they'll help you maintain the weight loss, because there's no point in losing all the weight if you're just going to gain it right back. But I've kept my weight off for over 2 years. I've seen tier ones do the same. Thousands of pounds lost in San Diego. Just by listeners of this radio station, you could be the next. Sign up today at sdfatloss.com. That's sdfatloss.com. Results may vary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like we're blowing it all out today, Benny. We got to save, but don't forget, you got to sit on some stuff. You got to save. You got to stretch it out.
Oh, right? I got like 5 months. Got plenty more Padres talk to get to in the coming weeks and months.
You say that?
Don't worry.
6 hours from now, we're going to be texting. What the F are
we
going to talk about
tomorrow?
I can conjure up more topics in the future. We will talk a little football coming up as well. Horrible losses both on Saturday in college football and Sunday.
I'm definitely talking about one game in particular.
All right, Paulie can get to that in Rhino Report. We got Dennis Lynn, our Lynn-sider, is going to join us at least one last time here to wrap up the season at the bottom of the hour. Right now, though, it is time for our first game of the new month. Right. New prize. Let's get to little Take on Woods. Take on Woods brought to you by Bay Alarm, security and fire alarms for every business. We got you, and we got Guy is back. Guy, good luck. New month, new prize,
hey.
And it's a good one. We've got the trip to Las Vegas, two-night stay at the Flamingo, and tickets to Jerry Seinfeld at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace. $100 gas card as well. Jerry Seinfeld returns to the Coliseum at Caesar's on April 17th and 18th. See Ticketmaster.com to get your own tickets. We got three categories. Woods has left the room. You get to pick from. I feel like we got challenging categories here today. I like Take on Woods, five song titles that include the phrase, I like. H2O. Five song titles that include the word water. And our new category, Teen Angst. Five song titles that include a number in the teens in their title. So, I like Take on Woods, H2O, or Teen Angst. Guy, what's it going to be?
Let's try the water one.
H2O. Five song titles that all include the word water. You'll have 60 seconds to answer as many of the five as you can. If you don't know one, say pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question's the two-second song. Paulie will play you a little music. You need to give me the song title and the artist to score that point. You go first. Woods goes second. You beat or tie him. You know how it works, Guy. You are into the drawing for Jerry
yes,
Seinfeld
sir.
In Las Vegas. All right, Paulie, are you ready to go?
1 second.
1 second as he cues it up. Guy was very disappointed. Didn't get in last month for the trip to the Eagles. But, man, new month, new prize, yeah. And another good one here for you. So we'll see how you do. See if you can be our first qualifier today. All right, Paul, you ready now?
All right,
ready. Here we go. The category is H2O. Guy, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Guy. Let's take on Woods.
I didn't even hear that, really.
Play it again. Right right there.
Yeah, no idea. Pass.
TLC advised not to go chasing what in a 1995 hit song?
Waterfalls.
Correct. A 1971 fire at the Montreux Casino in Switzerland on the shore of Lake Geneva inspired which classic rock song by Deep Purple?
Smoke on the Water.
Correct. What 1974 ode to the Mississippi River became the first number one hit for the Doobie Brothers?
Blackwater.
Correct.
Oh, Blackwater.
It was written by Paul Simon, but which 1970 Grammy Award-winning hit was mostly sung solo by Art Garfunkel and became the duo's most successful release?
Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Correct. All we need is the two-second song. He's having trouble with this one, though.
Yeah, I don't know what...
All right, you got four. You just didn't get Waterloo by ABBA. Which means we'll see if Woods can get all of them to keep it from a clean sweep or not. All right, Guy's score is locked in. Hang on the line, Guy. Woods, Guy's back. New month. He always gets in early.
Jeez.
All right, same five questions, no category for Woods. 60 seconds on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Guy.
Pass.
TLC advised not to go chasing what? In a
Waterfalls.
Correct. A 1971 fire at the Montreux Casino in Switzerland on the shore of Lake Geneva inspired which classic rock song by Deep Purple?
Smoke on the Water.
Correct. What 1974 ode to the Mississippi River became the first number one hit for the Doobie Brothers?
Old Blackwater?
Correct. It was written by Paul Simon, but which 1970 Grammy Award-winning hit was mostly sung solo by Art Garfunkel, becoming the duo's most successful release?
Bridge Over the River... No. Bridge Over the River Kwai.
It's not. You're thinking the right. Okay, go back to our two-second song.
Is that Blondie? No, I'm out.
Hey, you're out, which means Guy is in. 4-3.
Yeah, Bridge Over. It's Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Water was the key, and it was Waterloo by ABBA, the first song.
Yeah,
didn't know that one. Yep. All right, Guy, congratulations. Easy peasy, one for one this month as Guy is into the drawing for Jerry Seinfeld. Paulie will get your information during the break.
Bridge Over the River Taint is what it was. I'm sorry.
Get it right.
Bridge Over the Taint River.
Yep.
Right?
He got that one. That was the difference in our game. All right, let's come back with Dennis Lynn, our Lynn-sider. He's got his thoughts on the Padres offseason coming up as well.
What a piece he's written for The Athletic this morning, too, about pitch tipping. Oh, my God. Tons of Padres quoted there. Ben Fritz is in there. Ruben's in there. Everybody's in there. It's great.
That'll be coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan. First, though, Woods and I want to remind you, if you haven't got your estate documents in order, if you've got a family you've been putting this off, you are potentially setting them up for a world of hurt when you're gone, and not just the hurt because you're gone either.
I really felt like... I really felt like I was a terrible person because I had not gotten it done yet. And to be able to sit down at the computer only took me about 30 minutes to get it done. Made me feel a lot better. There's a real peace of mind that comes with it. So go to trustandwill.com. Use the code RADIO20 when you check out. They'll give you 20% off.
I didn't feel like a bad person because I just assumed it would just be pretty obvious and my family would just get everything.
Right.
But if you don't actually do it, they get stuck in probate court for months. It's expensive. It's all so easily avoidable, too. So, again, go to trustandwill.com. Go through the process. It's quick and easy. It's affordable. No lawyer's office necessarily. And you can even get, as Wood said, 20% off by using the code RADIO20 at checkout, whether it's a will or a little more complex to trust, but worth it to stay out of probate court if you've got assets like 401ks and property. Get the trust, stay out of probate court, get that peace of mind. Going to trustandwill.com. That's trustandwill.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year, Andrew Berry. I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Two more playoff games today in the National League. Game 2, Dodgers-Phillies, 3:08. Game 2, Cubs-Brewers, 6:08. Back-to-back on TBS today.
I will be there.
As the American League Series will resume tomorrow. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by IHOP, introducing the IHOP Value Menu, where all your breakfast faves are just $6 each every day. Where else can you get a big filling sit-down breakfast for only $6? Go to your happy plates with the $6 IHOP Value Menu, available every day at IHOP. $7 in some locations.
Yes.
Dennis Lynn from The Athletic going to join us right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Happy Monday, Padres fans. It's time to discuss the weekend that was for the Padres with our Ben and Woods Linsider, Dennis Lynn from The Athletic. Brought to you by the all-new Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
Fortunately, there was no weekend version. That was for the Padres. Oh. Dennis could be in Milwaukee right now.
Slay the dragon again.
For game 2 of the NLDS, but he is not. The season has come to a close, and we're here to wrap it all up with Dennis Ling. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, guys.
How are you, buddy?
I'm fine. Yeah, I guess you're kind of prepared for things to go either way this time of year, and unfortunately for the Padres, they went one way, and now I'm glad to be back in San Diego, all things considered. Well, but yeah, it would have been interesting to see what the team could have done.
Beatrice in our chat wants to know, and we can get to the Padres stuff in a moment, what does Dennis do for fun? What are your off-season hobbies?
That's a great question.
I'm going to do some traveling, go see some family. Nothing too exciting. I will still be keeping tabs on the Padres,
sure.
But hope to hit Australia later this offseason.
Ooh.
So
what part?
We'll see how that goes. Sydney.
I've been. It's beautiful.
Woods has connections in Melbourne.
I
want to go down to Melbourne.
I don't know how aligned Aussie Tony and Dennis would be. I don't. But it would be an interesting pairing, for sure. But no, I've been to Sydney. It's stunning. You'll have a great time. It's a long, long, long flight. The people in the chat said, can we interview Dennis today? Fire away, guys. I mean, it's the offseason. You can do whatever you want. But Ben wants to really do the autopsy on the Padres, and we've done it. You know, we did it Friday. We're doing it some today. We all know, you know, what some of the issues are out there, but just your overall take on what you're hearing about AJ Preller, and do you think they'll just let it play out the last year of his contract?
I think that's definitely a possibility. There's a lot of uncertainty, as we all know, surrounding baseball with the labor landscape and the CBA coming up, and of course, the Padres still have to sort out some ownership issues that started, you know, before this past season. So I think that's a distinct possibility. I think, you know, some people would be of the mind that he's done enough to deserve a contract extension. I think we'll have to see about that too. But yeah, it's kind of like the number one question, right? Hang over the franchise, because until you decide on your head of baseball operations and kind of where he's at, that kind of leads to, you know, everything else being frozen in place a little bit. But until then, I think yeah, the Padres clearly have some issues about maybe not maximizing all this talent on their roster the last couple Octobers. And as you saw last night, the Mariners basically won that game in a pitcher friendly ballpark, by the way, with three swings of the bat, two solo home runs, and a go ahead double by Julio Rodriguez in the eighth. So it can be done, and I think the Padres just have not been doing that the past couple of years. So there's an issue there.
Dennis, when the World Series is over in about a month, that's when you have to make your first kind of player personnel decisions, contract options, qualifying offers, and such. We know AJ always has plans upon plans upon plans. What do you see as being the most important early off-season decisions that have to be made first for the San Diego Padres?
Well, I think you start with the pending free agents, the guys with options in their contracts, right? I think starting pitching is going to be the number one concern. even though we just talked about, I guess, kind of their lack of power throughout this season. But you're going to be looking at a rotation, most likely, if Michael King and Dylan Cease leave, which I think they will, of, you know, Yu Darvish, you've got those concerns there with his elbow. Is he going to give you more than 15 starts next year? Is he going to even be pitching next year? Is Joe Musgrove going to be, you know, back to normal coming off Tommy John surgery? What can you kind of expect or rely on from Randy Vasquez, who's kind of been this miraculous kind of pitcher in the last couple of years? And that's credit to him because he's resilient, obviously, and he gets really good results, but the underlying numbers have not been as great. So beyond Nick Pivetta, who's going to be back for the most likely the final year before he can opt out. Yeah, there's not a lot of depth in the rotation. So you got to decide on, you know, some of these guys who are going to be free agents and whether you want to make real offers or qualifying offers, I guess, in Dylan and Michael King's case to them and see where that takes you. But right now, I think starting pitching is probably the huge concern going into the offseason.
Well, you know, they cobbled it together this year with terrible year from Dylan Cease, you know, Michael King barely pitching, Yu Darvish not being great. They cobbled it together. They figured out a way. Now, they have traded depth, as you mentioned, but the bullpen looks solid coming back. It looks really solid coming back. And for the first time in a long time, Dennis, I go, all right, I mean, I can see a starting lineup on paper opening day that's not going to make me, you know, want to grab the vomit bag with, you know, and again, like, you're not going to have to go out and grab 4 to 5 40-year-olds to plug holes on opening day. You're just not. You've got guys coming back, and you're like, okay, this looks good. The bullpen looks pretty good. You know, they plugged a lot of holes this year in starting pitching. I could see us getting back to the playoffs, you know, with what we have now. If you add one or two starting pitchers, man, it certainly doesn't feel as dire as it has in off seasons past.
Yeah, that's a good point. And also, I guess you wonder if Mason Miller is going to try to make the move back to rotation. I think I'd be inclined right now to say probably not, with Robert Suarez most likely leaving.
Yeah.
And you've also got other options. I mean, is Adrian Morahone an option there to stretch back out? Is David Morgan, who's shown some multiple good pitches? I mean, I think kind of pitches that can fit in a rotation. Or do you kind of play it safe? And, you know, Basin had some UCL problems last time tried to start in the majors, so maybe you don't risk that. And he's just so good in that role and so electric and so dominant that maybe it's just best to keep him there. But I think, yeah, you're right that the bullpen's going to be probably in decent shape. You know, that's going to be there for you. It's just a matter of, you know, can you get those guys a lead? Because, you know, those guys did not have a lead often enough this past week and, you know, probably, you know, throughout the last couple of years.
Great. You talking to Dennis Lynn from The Athletic, and everyone should subscribe to The Athletic because you get pieces like that dropped this morning talking about pitch tipping. Obviously, a huge, huge discussion. I think every year, but, you know, obviously it feels more fresh. You and Andy McCullough wrote it, and it's really, really – and Cody Stavenhagen as well. I wanted to give everybody their credit. But they were, you know, you were talking about the Dodgers the other night. Matt Strom's on the mound. A lot of people thought Matt Strom was tipping. He went to Twitter the next day and said, this is how I've always pitched. I've got, you know, he was doing it with the previous two guys at the plate and I got them out. So how much of this is subterfuge? How much of this is a legitimate concern? And, you know, from your perspective, are you finding starting pitchers or relievers going out there in their head already about an already very difficult job? Now they're worried to see if guys are picking up the grips in their glove.
Yeah, it's a huge thing in the front of mind of you know, pitchers around the game. I remember talking to Dylan Cease for the story that you're talking about, and he was very open about it. Just like, yeah, you just have to be worried all the time. And I even asked about, I don't know if you guys remember, when before he threw that no-hitter last year, he started bringing his glove closer to his torso, just to supposedly at the time, you know, to be more smooth in his delivery, just kind of iron out his mechanics. And so I asked after the fact just a few weeks ago, like, is that probably to, you know, guard against pitch tipping too? And he said, yeah, I'm pretty sure that I remember that's what it was too. And then he threw a no-hitter. But then, you know, this year things were not great just overall for him as a season. And I wonder how much of that just, you know, tipping his pitches or thinking he's tipping his pitches, because I think we've all experienced, like, Dylan seems like a pretty deep thinker sometimes. So who knows how much he got in his own head about it. But, yeah, I mean, there's another example in there, too, of, you know, Patrick Bailey dancing around on second base in late April.
Yep, Pivetta.
And Ruben Yebla said after the fact that Patrick Bailey had texted them, or they texted Patrick Bailey. I guess, you know, guys on the team that know him after that game was like, "Did you have anything?" And he was like, "No, I don't have S.
No, I don't have anything. I was just messing with him."
Yeah, exactly. So I went up to Patrick Bailey when the Giants came back to Petco the last time, and I straight up asked him. He's like, "Yeah, I didn't have anything that night." And it's just, you're trying to create a sense of paranoia, and apparently in that case, it sort of worked because there was a mound visit by Niebla.
Pavetta was furious.
But also, Pavetta got out of that inning, I think, without damage. So.
But how do you believe anything? Because, I mean, if Bailey did have something, the last thing he'd say is,
I got something.
I have something. He'd say, of course. No, I don't have anything. I'm just faking it. He might really have something.
No
one
knows.
You never really know.
Well, listen to this story they tell. This is my favorite one. Dodgers officials met with reliever Alex Vesia. They pulled up a side-by-side video of his fastball and his slider. He's a two-pitch pitcher. They're like, "Hey, do you notice anything different?" He goes, "No. I'm coming set the same way." And they said, "Look at your mouth." Before he threw sliders, he chomped on a wad of gum. On fastballs, his jaw stayed still. So he just stopped chewing gum entirely. Is that not the most insane behavior and detail? I mean, that's why the Dodgers are the Dodgers. They said, when you throw a slider, you start chomping your gum. When you throw a fastball, you don't. That's bananas that somebody could pick that up. Bananas, Dennis.
Yeah, I'll give you guys another one that didn't make into the story, but I think it was there's a brief mention or allusion to it, but Jason Adams said he's been pretty much going up half size and glove size every single year just because a lot of it, it's just like guys on second base are looking into your glove.
Yeah.
And if your glove's smaller, I guess your hand's going to be showing more, right? So just keep getting bigger and bigger gloves until you have a glove the size of, I guess, the entire mound, and then no one could see you inside that glove.
Yeah, it looks like a parachute on your hand. Yeah, just a massive, massive glove.
Or just be like Mason Miller and never let anybody get to second base at all.
That's right.
And then you don't have to worry so much about it, Dennis.
So good, man. So good. Such a good piece, dude. Like, fascinating. Everybody should go read it. It's brilliant, as all your pieces are. But this one was a personal favorite. And Ben Fritz is in there. A lot of Padres guys are in there, too. It's great.
Well, thanks, guys. Yeah, it was a fun one to work on, and I guess the Padres have to wonder like how much, because they're not mentioned among the teams who are like, I guess, really good at picking up tells. So maybe that's something else they have to work on in the off season.
I'm not the guy. Don't ask me.
Studying
I would never
more
know.
Film of the other teams to try to find tells.
I would never know.
Well, you know what? We put the tier ones on it.
Yeah, they will find
They've
it.
They've got time.
That's
they're going to go and find everything. Dennis, really appreciate it. Thank you for all your contributions throughout the season. If you do end up going to Australia, have a great time. Hopefully, we'll catch up with you at some point in the offseason as the Padres start making some moves.
That sounds good, guys. Thanks for the opportunity this year. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Dylan. You crushed it, buddy.
There
appreciate
he is. You. Dennis Lynn, our Linsider from The Athletic. Appreciate everything he's done all season long. And you are right, Woods. The Athletic is truly... there's a lot of things that ask you for subscriptions nowadays, but if you're a baseball fan, if you're a sports fan, Athletic has some of the best writers in the business and usually good content on multiple levels every single day.
The baseball coverage is second to none.
It really is fantastic. Yep. All right, we haven't really gotten into much football yet. So when we come back, Paulie's going to have a Rondo report, and he's going to dive in with a little bit of what went on over the weekend.
Pretty ridiculous ending to the Arizona game. We'll
never seen anything
about
like
that.
It.
And some big breaking music news this morning.
Oh, yes.
All right, it's all coming up. 1 hour to go. Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.